Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
When God boiled his whole law down to 10 commandments, one of the 10 was, do not covet. Coveting is a very serious matter. Whenever your desire for something drives you to sin when you don't get it, or to sin in order to get it, that's covetousness. Whenever a desire is driven by a selfish, me-first attitude, that's covetousness. And whenever you look to some earthly thing to satisfy the thirst pangs of your soul, that's covetousness. And that's where we left off last time. Now it's time to tackle the question of how to cure covetousness. When you have these kinds of desires, what can you do about it?
What's the answer to James' question? What causes fights and quarrels? Why can't we all just get along? Where do these crazy flashes of anger come from? Why am I yelling at my kids, my wife? Why are the kids fighting in the backseat? What causes so much disharmony in the church? Covetous desires. Why are there some things that you can forgive just fine, other things you can't seem to forgive? The reason you can't forgive those things is because those things are offenses where somebody touched your covetous desire. These ones you can forgive because they touched a desire that's not a covetous one, but those people touched a covetous one. And you can't forgive even now because your heart is still coveting that thing that they took away. Your heart thinks, in order to be happy, in order to have a happy life, I have to have had a normal childhood. My parents ruined that. Therefore, I can't forgive them. And so having a normal childhood has gone from being a normal good desire to being a covetous desire, something your soul thinks is water that you have to have in order to be happy. And so you can't forgive because somebody took away your water. There's one thing your soul will never forgive, and that is someone taking away your water. So now we've got an answer to the question. We know what the problem is here. And that gives us hope. It does. It gives us hope. As painful as this is to admit that we have this problem, is there's hope in verse 2, because when James says you don't receive because the thing that the desire is a covetous one, the implication is if you stopped coveting it, God could say yes to your prayer. You would receive. All you have to do is desire it with a godly desire instead of a covetous desire. Then if God is eager to say yes to your prayer. Because if the wife comes to the husband and says, can you give me $100? And the husband says, well, what for? And she says, it's to get a hotel room for us. I got a surprise plan. I'm going to make you the happiest man in the world tonight. He says, well, here, $200. Knock yourself out. Right? If the purpose of the request is to pursue intimacy with him, then the answer is going to tend to be yes. So, you might hear all this. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, great. Okay, I thought I was just fine. I walked in here. I thought I was just fine. Now I realize I'm guilty of committing adultery against God. My heart is plagued with idolatrous, covetous desires, which means there's a bunch of selfish pride, earthly wisdom in my heart. All this junk. Now what? I mean, I've diagnosed the problems, and the test came up positive to malignant pride in my heart. Now what? Now what do I do? James actually isn't going to give us a solution until verse 8, where he describes the process of repentance. But in that process, when he describes that in verse 8, the very first thing he says there is, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And if you have selfish pride, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is one of those sins that if you could just get it diagnosed right, it's obvious what the solution is. It's obvious. The problem with this particular sin, it always gets misdiagnosed. I mean, if you have a pride problem, the solution is easy. Humility. If you have a problem with you're not drawn near to God, the solution is easy. Draw near to God. But if you don't know that that's what the problem is, see, when we get angry, We get into fights with each other. We have disunity in the church. We get in a grumpy mood. Kids are fighting in the back. When those things happen, we'll point to 100 other things as the cause. We point to sins that people are committing against me, hard circumstances, hormones in my body, my upbringing and my childhood, all these different things. And we're pointing all that stuff. And James is saying every one of those is a misdiagnosis. That's not the problem. Before my dad died, the doctor he was seeing misdiagnosed his problem and gave him a treatment that was the exact opposite of what he needed, which was one of the things that led to his death. Misdiagnosis leads to the wrong treatment, which can be lethal. So Dr. James tells us in chapter 3, stick out your tongue and say, ah. And he open up your mouth and say something. And he listens to what we say and he diagnoses. He hears some harsh words, some angry words, some contentious words. And he says, aha, I see your problem. Earthly wisdom, selfish pride, covetous desires. There's your problem. And once I have that accurate diagnosis, I'm in great shape. I'm in great shape because I happen to be close personal friends with the great physician. And he has medicine for this particular disease. The medicine is humble repentance and drawing near to God. Look to him as my water. Looking to him instead of earthly things is the satisfier of my soul. What a delightful cure that is. I mean, the brokenness over sin is kind of a bitter medicine. But once you get that down, the rest of the medicine is you sit down at this full, satisfying banquet, eating and drinking until your heart is happy and content. That's the medicine. Don't you love it when your doctor prescribes food? We will have more unity in the church and more peace in our homes with our kids and our marriages, harmony in relationships. All that will happen when we have more satisfaction in God. But if we misdiagnose the problem, and we refuse to admit, I'm in this fight because of covetous desires. We won't admit that. We'll never get rid of it. Which is why so many fights never end. Because it just goes misdiagnosed. Well, how's all that done? How do you draw near to God? What does that look like? What are the implications for my prayer life? How does all this fit? How should I pray? Where does grace fit in? How do I get grace in this whole deal? All of that is what's coming up, and we'll plan on picking that up next time. Let's pray. And after I pray, I'm just going to give you some silent moments before I say amen to just do business with God. To confess whatever you need to confess, to examine your heart, to look for any of this that might be in your heart. Okay? Give us honest hearts, Lord. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us. Test us. Examine us. See if there be any wicked way in us, any idolatrous, adulterous, selfish desire, covetous desire. Expose it. Forgive us, Lord, for just writing off the little sins. Yeah, I snapped at her just for a second, then I recovered. And we don't diagnose the disease underneath that. Humble us. And let us feast on your presence.
For listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.